Thank you, Juan Dia. Take your Bible and go to Revelation 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We ask Juan Dia to sing today because she's married to a senior adult, and we're grateful to God for her family. Amen. Revelation 20. Now, I'm going to be in this chapter for a few weeks, and hope you'll read it and read it and read it. Only 15 verses in it. Beside the rapture, when you come to the book of Revelation, this is probably the most controversial chapter in all of the apocalypses. And so as we come to Revelation, we're in chapter 20, and we're going to look at several things through it in the next 5 weeks together. And this morning, we're just looking at kind of an overview of the millennium. So we're in Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1 in just a moment. I'm telling you, our world needs the gospel. It's been a while since I've been to a 7-Eleven Tom Thumb type thing after midnight, but I got to go last night. And let me tell you, if you're looking for a place to do some outreach and evangelism on Saturday night, just go fill up your car with gas and go buy you something, all right? I'm telling you, they're in there. Whoa, are they in there? I met a lady last night, I'm telling you what, she's crazy as a one-eyed tick on a rabid coon dog. I'm telling you, that woman, I never heard anything like it. Another boy walked up to me, had a big case of beer under one arm, and says, "My mama's a big fan of yours." I said, "Well, amen." Telling you, they need the gospel at that place. They really do. And it's our job to give it out, all right? So I want to encourage you with the gospel today, because that's what this text really comes down to. We're in Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse number 6. The Bible says, "John the Revelator, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones. And they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And if you look down at verse number 7, it says it one more time, when the 1,000 years were completed. And so you find it there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in 7 verses. What the Latin language takes two words and puts together, million annum, million thousand annum year, and 1,000 years, that we get our word millennium out of that Latin Vulgate translation, that there is this 1,000-year rule or reign. It may be even better to call it the messianic age of the 1,000-year rule of the Messiah. Every society longs for a golden age when heaven comes to earth. Now, no doubt when I say the word millennium, some words pop in your mind. Premillennial. Postmillennial, amillennial. And we say, what does that mean? Well, it all deals with chronology and when the return of the Lord and the rapture of the church is. premillennial, before. So premillennial, and that'd be the position I'd take, is that the rapture of the church is before the millennium. Post would be after. That there's the millennium and then the rapture. It really negates millennium and says it's really not a 1,000-year reign, but we are in the millennium even now. And so there is not a millennium per such, but it is symbolic. And then there's always the smart aleck Baptist that says there's the pan millennium, that everything's going to pan out in the end and it really doesn't matter. Well, Scripture is specific, but not always is the mystery so clear that you can understand and say with 1,000% surety, I know that this will be here. But there are some things given in the Revelation that we can understand, and we need to understand, and that prophecy is so important in all of Scripture that the Bible only comes alive when you do understand millennial passages all through the Old Testament and the New. Now, before we get to the 20th chapter of Revelation, there are some things that precede the millennium passage. Three things. Number one is the rapture of the church. Immediate. Jesus could come and call us before I finish this sentence. There could be a shout and a trumpet, and all the dead that are buried right out here in Whitmire Cemetery, all the dead that are in Christ, there and out at Bayview and Barrancas. I shared with the group when we placed Brother Conrad Noel's body in the ground this week. I shared with him. I said, we always bury here at Bayview with the feet toward the east, the head toward the west. So when Jesus comes and he's coming right over that bay, when you sit up, there he is. That's why we bury that way. It's the tradition. We'll go out to Barrancas for Brother Joel. Well, there's a day coming when Jesus comes and all the dead that have preceded us, they will jump out of the grave, their body will, like steel filings drawn to a magnet, they'll go. And as soon as they're gone, we that are alive and remain, those that have not died, we will be caught up with the Lord. Out of here, gone. That is not the second coming of the Lord, that's the rapture of the church. Then the Bible says following that, there is a second event called the Great Tribulation. It doesn't kick in just immediately after rapture, but pretty quick. There's 7 years, 3.5 on the front and 3.5 on the back, that prophecy begins to unpack for us, and we'll see a little bit of that in this text today. And so right after the rapture comes the tribulation. All hell breaks loose. There are two things that rule the earth during the tribulation: godless government and godless religion. And when you see godless government and godless religion begin to surface in our world, and I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to look far to see it today. You know that this old world's having birth pangs, getting ready for the rapture of the church. The dead in the grave gone, and those that are alive that are saved gone, like filings to that magnet, and we're out of here, and the lost are left. And then this godless government and godless religion will rule, because the church is gone and there is no spiritual conscience left in the world. Do you know, friend, that's our job while we're here. I read two articles in the News Journal this week. One by that half-infidel down in Miami. Leonard Pitts, I want to just kick something when I read him. He said, now, most of the time I just let it go, but he got over in my vein this week. He said that masterful, biblical exegesis, that's what I do for a living. It may not be masterful, but I do Bible exegesis for a living. He said, masterful Bible exegesis never condemns same-sex marriage or homosexuality. I was in the news journal. The next day, another lady wrote over on the left, the liberal side, and then they have somebody over here that's on the right. The next lady, she began to write about how the church and standing against abortion is wrong. Now, you know, they can write their liberal stuff, but now when they begin to tell me what the Bible says and they begin to tell me what the church is doing, that's my bailiwick. That's my business. And I'm supposed to be a voice, and you're supposed to be a voice, and we're to be a... There's a day coming when we're raptured out of here and it won't make any difference, and there is no voice. And when that happens, tribulation comes, and there is godless government and godless religion, and they run unchecked in our world. The third occurrence after rapture and tribulation is Armageddon. That is when Jesus comes. And we come with him. And you find it in Revelation 19, beginning in verse 17, that here the Lord comes, and there is blood and there is war, and it is not easy, and there's just death. So the church is raptured. Tribulation comes and Jesus wins the day, but everybody doesn't die. The saved move out that have walked through, those that have come to Christ during the tribulation move into the millennium in their natural body. We that have been raptured are there in supernatural bodies. The millennium is an unusual time, this 1,000-year reign. It's like when Jesus rose from the dead and he had one kind of body and Thomas had another kind of body. And you remember the book of Matthew says that when Jesus got up, that the graves opened in Jerusalem and people got up and ran the streets of Jerusalem. You remember? They had one kind of body and Thomas had another kind. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe till I touch it. And we knew who he was, but Jesus had one kind of body. And well, that's going to be going on in the millennium. And then there is ushered in this 1,000-year rule and reign of the Lord Jesus. And I want to give you five facts today concerning the millennium that we find out of Scripture. So you jump in here with me and I want to show you these five facts we need to know concerning this messianic age. Number one, first of all, fact number one is that only Christians will enter the millennium. Only believers will enter the millennium. When those that come through the tribulation, those that are of Israel, the Jews who have survived the great tribulation and accepted Christ, they will enter into the millennium and they will be here on planet Earth. Jews. Secondly, they'll be the Gentile nations. These are spoken of in Matthew 25. You see, we use Matthew 25 to talk about just taking care of the poor and what we do out here in the ministry village, and it is a great principle, but it is not the primary teaching of the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 and 25. Matthew 25 speaks of the marks of those that are really saved that come through the tribulation. What is it? Well, they feed the poor, and they deal with the hungry, and they go to those who are in jail, and they become Jesus to the least of these. It's what we ought to be doing, but it's the mark of the saved. Gentile, and those that are saved through the tribulation have come to Christ, they will also enter in to the golden age of the 1,000-year rule of Christ in the millennium. Thirdly, is the devil himself. He will not enter the millennium because the Bible says that an angel's coming with a long chain and they bind him. And they throw him in the abyss. And verse 3 says they shut it. And they seal it. And he could no longer deceive the nations. Now, one of the messages I will preach out of this is the deception of the nations. But understand, we live in a world today where the devil is not bound. I had a guy tell me one time, He said, Pastor, you know, I believe that we live in a world where Jesus rules and the devil has been bound. And I looked at him and I said, well, I want you to know if he's bound, he's on a very long chain. I mean, he is running rampant in this world and he's deceiving our nations and he is deceiving the very nation of which I am a citizen. There's deception on every, but thank God there's coming a day when that deception goes away and the old deceiver is going to be thrown in the pit and he's going to be bound and sealed and shut out. That's why you have the golden age of the millennium. The Jews will walk into it that have been saved through the tribulation. The Gentile nations will walk into it that have been saved through the tribulation. The devil is kicked out and he's in the abyss. And those of us that have been saved since Christ came the first time for 2,000 years will be there to rule with these Jews and these Gentiles that have come through. And that will be the makeup of the people of the millennium. Now, there'll be others that are born during the millennium, and we'll see that in just a moment. Then there'll be great progress for 1,000. Now, just think about 1,000 years. Some people say, well, it's not a literal 1,000 years. Well, he says it 6 times. It's been a little over 2,000 years since Jesus came. And just think of the millennium started today. We'd go another 1,000 years. Then the eternal age. That's another set of series of sermons. But this millennium, it's the golden age that we enter into. What happens then in the... Well, number one, only Christians. Hey, won't it be a great time? Only believers. I mean real ones. I'm not talking about these folks that don't know what they're talking about. I don't mean these people that... I'm telling you, friend, if you're in the millennium, you'll love Jesus because you know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know he's the Messiah. He's the one the world has longed for all these years to come again. You're there, red and yellow, black and white, Jew and Gentile, and everybody there is just in rapture. They're loving Jesus and working. Yeah, I'm telling you, what a time it's going to be. First fact is that only Christians enter the millennium. Going to be a great age. Number two, second fact is that the millennial government is a monarchy. It's a monarchy. It is not a republic. It is not a democracy. There is no voting day in the millennium. It's a monarchy. And Jesus is king. Now look in Revelation 20, verse 4, he says, after he saw that the devil had been bound, he says in verse 4, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Thrones, plural. But if you look back in Revelation 19 and verse 16, the one coming to Armageddon, it says, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There are thrones, yes, plural. But there is only one king. And Jesus sits on the throne of the millennium. It is a monarchy. And Jesus rules. This is the period when God will fulfill every Bible promise he's ever made to Israel. There are four of them. Number one, the Abrahamic covenant. The seed of Abraham like the stars of the sky. Secondly is the Davidic covenant. And then we find that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You can look at it, verses 12 and 13, when he says he's going to establish the throne of David, and he will have established it, and Jesus will sit upon it. Thirdly will be the land covenant that will come, and Israel will rule, and you'll understand from the Euphrates to all the way down to that southern border, and we'll have finally, we'll have a peace agreement in the Holy Land. Now, let me tell you, Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and George Bush and Barack Obama and anybody they elect, they can get together all they want to. Ain't never going to happen. You're never going to have peace there till the Prince of Peace shows up. And that doesn't mean they ought to not work toward it. Doesn't mean we ought not fight for the rights and rule and be just. I understand. But let me tell you, friend, when we come here, the land covenant, everything that God promised to Israel will become theirs in the millennium. After the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the land covenant are put in place, the new covenant will be in place. It's in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33. Look at this. I got it up on the board for you. Just look at this. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Verse 33. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declared the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's when, as Romans 11 tells us, that all Israel is going to be saved. Let me tell you, every Jew that enters into the millennium will bow and cry out, Jesus is Lord, and God will write the law of grace on their heart, and they'll be saved, 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 saved. It's the day of new covenant. And it's coming to every Jew in the millennium. Jesus sits on the throne. Who else rules there? Well, look in verse number 4. Who did he say was going to sit on the throne? Well, judgment was given to them. Who are those people? I believe that's the church. I believe that's you. There'll be a place there you will judge. I don't know what all God will assign you. It's according to your faithfulness here, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, whatever your faithfulness is here, God puts you in charge of something over there. Not only does the church sit on thrones, but this verse says that the martyrs, and I saw the souls, verse 4, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. These that came through the tribulation, that had their head cut off. They've been martyred for the gospel. They will have a place of judgment. And then he says there's another group that has a throne. And those that have not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark of their forehead or in their hand, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Also, those that refused the 666 mark. They've come through the tribulation. Now, some of you are looking at me and you still hadn't got it. Hear me. Get right with Jesus today. Get saved today. If you do, you're going to miss a whole lots of turmoil. We're raptured out before all this beheading and the mark of the beast start. Oh, it's set up. I mean, we could just as easily begin to have the rapture of the church today and the mark of the beast. I mean, there's things they can do now with your credit card and put a mark here and there. I mean, they already brand your dogs and your kids and put stuff, a little chip underneath the skin of your dog and run a deal. Man, they read my water meter. Don't even have to get out of the truck. Just point up through there and say, 1,000 gallons. She just did it. Now you better be careful just carrying your credit cards like I do in my pocket. You can walk through a certain place and people with certain devices, man, they can shoot the number off your credit card while it's in your pocket. That little strip, it's on the back. Why, it's not going to be anything. You walk in, even in our lifetime, buy a loaf of bread and just say, how are you going to pay? Well, just debit that out of my account. We'll have it at church. We'll just pass the offering plate down. It's the way you'll pay when you come to church. Give a tithe. You just don't take it this way. Turn it upside down. Got a little kiosk on the bottom. If you're going to give 1%, one finger, 2%, 3%. Or you have to put 10 on there like this. I'm just telling you, the day's coming. It's easy. The technology is at hand even today. Friend, I'm telling you, the coming of Jesus could be this very morning moment. Everything's set. It could be here. It could be this very day. Those that did not receive that mark, because they'll have to say, no, I will not take it. And I will say Jesus is Lord. And I will not bow to godless government. And I will not bow to godless religion. I will only bow to King Jesus. The church will rule. The martyrs will rule. Those that refuse the mark will rule. And the apostles, Matthew 19 says that they will rule as he's promised them in Matthew 19 and verse 28. Got to hurry. Number three, third fact about the millennium I want you to see is that Jerusalem will be the millennial capital. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah 2. Just very quickly, Isaiah 2, because I want to get to number four. Isaiah 2, I got a whole lot more than I can ever tell you this morning. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 2. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. And now it will come to that last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and they will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream into it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many people. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against them. Won't that be a good day? It'll be a great day. You don't have to worry about Afghanistan, Iran, Russia, Egypt, and never again will they learn war. What a great day the millennium will be, and Jerusalem will be its capital. You see, when the Lord comes, there's going to be a great topological change to the earth. There's not room to build the millennial temple right now in Jerusalem, as it said. But I'm telling you, that whole land's going to break in half. There'll be a change. You read about that millennial temple that I'll preach about later in this series out of Ezekiel 40 through 48. That great temple that'll be set up. There'll be blood sacrifice in it. I just questioned. I said, Lord, that doesn't seem right. Why do we have to have any kind of blood sacrifice in the millennium? Because the blood sacrifice is over. Jesus already done that. The sacrifice is out of the way. Let me tell you, when you begin to read it, it is not the same thing as went on in the Old Testament. It's new. It is more likened unto the Lord's Supper than it is likened to the Old Testament sacrificial system. But there will be sacrifices made, and there'll be priests in that temple, and that monarchy will be set up, and Jesus will be the king, and priests will be there, and Jerusalem will be the capital. You ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And America better always be careful about whose side she gets on in the Middle East. You can go to Israel now, you'll find 90% of the people are atheists. They don't believe in God. Friend, it's not the crowd that's there now I'm concerned about. There's a very small group of Orthodox that really run it. Most people, 80-90%, don't believe anything. There's a few Christians around. But that's God's capital. It's where the great religions of the world come together, and the last war is going to be fought right there. You better be very careful when you elect your president, what he thinks about Israel. You better be very careful when you elect your legislatures and what they think about Israel. You better pray for the peace of that city. Because one day it's going to be our capital, and we'll be there for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. Number four, very quickly, I want you to go to Isaiah 65 and look in verse 17. I want to tell you that the fourth fact is the millennium is a time of righteous rule, of righteous rule. Now, what goes on during the millennium? Man, the millennium, 1,000 years. Now, just think about it. All these people are there, and we got people in natural bodies, and we got people in supernatural bodies, and we're in that place, and we're there for 1,000 years. There'll be people that be born during the millennium. There'll be people that die during the millennium. Those that came in natural bodies, some of them will die, but they're all going to live past 100. There'll be people that are saved during the millennium, because there are going to be babies born. And those children. Look in Isaiah 65. Just want to show you. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you got to tell me then what this text means. Isaiah 65. Let me get to it. Beginning in verse 17. Here's what the Word of God says. Isaiah 65:17. He says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. So you say, well, preacher, that's heaven. Oh, no, keep reading. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. So that sounds like heaven. Well, hang on. No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. No young people will die. Dylan Robinson will not be in the millennium. You don't die at 21. An old man lives out his days. How many years is that? Well, for the youth will die at the age of 100. And one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed. You see, it can't be heaven because there's no dying in heaven. This is a passage about the millennium. They shall build houses, inhabit them. Amen. There'll be construction. There'll be no problem with home loans when we get there. We'll have a building boom going on. They'll plant vineyards and they'll eat the fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. No, they're going to live. And they'll not plant another eat. No, they're going to eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, you look at these big oaks around here, like the long as those trees, so shall be the days of my people, and my chosen ones shall wear out the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. And it will also come to pass that they will call and I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall do evil. They shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Sound like there's going to be animals in the millennium. My dog's going. John Dubois says his cat's going. I say there'll be no cats there. Come on, John, you got to man up now. Hey, we kid about it. I don't know, but the animals there. There's children are born there. People live 100 years old. Children do, and old men much older than that. The millennium is a time of righteous rule. It's a day like you've never known before. There'll be people to be saved during the millennium, those that came through and had children, and they'll hear of the King of Kings and the monarchy be sitting. And they'll say, who is that? And they'll say, that's Jesus. He's the one that died for us back on Calvary's cross. And a mother will tell a little boy, and he'll bow and say, I'm trusting Jesus. One writer I read this week says, everybody will have at least 100 years to get saved. If you don't get saved by the time you're 100, you'll die and you'll be expelled. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just one man's opinion. That's when he comes to this passage of 100 years. It's a great place of righteous rule. No wickedness. We don't have to worry about death so much. No cancer. Don't get tired. There's no sin, no devil. No lost church members. Yeah. It's just glory. But there's a fifth truth I got to give you this morning. Don't miss this. And I want everybody to read it out loud when Sharon puts it up on the board. Fact number five. Now let's read it all together. We are not in the millennium. I meet too many Christians that don't want to work anymore. They got millennium Christianity. I don't do anything. What do you mean I don't do anything? We've got millennium music. It's just like people just want to stand around the throne and I'm not against that. But I'm telling you, there's still an old hymn over in the book. It says, to the work, to the work. There's souls to be won. There's churches to be planted. There's ministries to be funded. There's gifts to be given. There's a devil to confront. There's prophecy to study. There's a hell to fight. Friend, you ought to get holy in this side. You're not in the millennium yet, but you ought to act like you're going there. You're on the winning side, so man up. Begin to live like Jesus really is king and he rules. My Lord, don't worry. It's going to get better. It's not the millennium now. So what ought to happen? Number one, if you're lost here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, you ought to get saved today. You ought to give your heart and life to Jesus today. Jesus died for you. He's risen. And dear friend, if you get saved, he's coming back for you. And you'll be one of those caught up together with him in the clouds ever to be with the Lord in the air. If you're saved here today, you should get holy. You ought to begin to prioritize kingdom activity more than anything in your life. You ought to proclaim the gospel to those around you. You should be investing what you have in eternity. You ought to love Israel. You ought to study prophecy. You ought to fight hell and its lies. Never worry. And understand this, the reason you do all that, because the King is coming again. He's coming. He's coming. I had two men tell me stories this week about children in their churches that are mentally handicapped. One of them said that they had a group of eight little boys that came in and sat on the second row, all mentally challenged. They were just 7, 9, 10, just kids. And said they had a lady to sing on a Sunday, and she was so professional out of the opera that her voice warbled so much you couldn't understand a word she said. She wasn't singing in English, you just couldn't understand her English. And the higher she got, the more radical it got. And one of the little boys sitting on the second row had his arms folded and he started talking out loud. And he was saying, "Not good, not good, not good." They couldn't get him to hush. "Not good." Oh, I'd hate to have been that sweet lady singing, wouldn't you? And another gentleman said to me, "Well, you know, Pastor, we laugh," but said, "I was called to come to a children's home where all the kids are feeble and in their mind." And said, "When I got there, I noticed all the windows were dirty." He said, "Just it aggravated me." He said, "There's just little fingerprints all over them and smudged up." And he said, it bothered me. And after chapel, he said, I shared and said, I asked the leader, I said, why don't y'all clean the windows? They said, "Well, we try." He said, "But we have chapel once a week," and said, "These kids can just remember 2 or 3, 4 days." But said, "Last week, the chapel speaker said, he told these kids that Jesus was coming and he comes from the east and that they ought to all be watching." And he said, "You know, preacher, we can't keep their little hands and faces and noses off the windows." Said they just, "Is it today? Is it today? Is it today?" That preacher shared with me. He said, "I left that place under such conviction." He said, "I often preach about the coming King, but it's been a while since I put my hands and my nose to the window and just wondered, could it be today?"